LNB's audio diary for the 14th of March, 2023. It is a Tuesday, and it's just about 11 o'clock in the morning. I am just outside the coffee shop. This is Arizona Mountain Coffee Company. That's the one I prefer to go to. There is a Starbucks just down the street, but I don't like Starbucks. So this is the place I go to. It's a local coffee. I like that it's a local business. I do believe in buying local because so many of the big box stores have come through this area and just, you know, they drove out small businesses. And I shop at Walmart routinely, and if it's not Walmart, it's Safeway. Both of them are big companies. Walmart's the biggest, obviously, but it never, you know, they had arrived when we first moved here, about 18 and a half years ago or so. Walmart had just come in here. They had just come in maybe about a year or two before, and all the local businesses that were in competition had already closed down. We'd go by and there'd just be empty store after empty store after empty store, and all of them had gotten shut down, driven out of business by Walmart. So I'm sensitive to that, but I shop there now because there's nowhere else. There is nowhere else to go. You know, you go to a big store, and Walmart's cheaper than Safeway. So I tend to do most of my shopping at Walmart, and that's it. So, you know, you have very few options when it comes to keeping your money in the community, but there you go. That's just how it is. So coffee, I don't mind shopping there. I don't actually like their coffee very much. It's better than Starbucks. Starbucks is actually terrible in my opinion. I don't know why anybody drinks it, but it's better than Starbucks, so it's got that going for it. But otherwise, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think their coffee blend is very good, and they don't seem to have, they were doing varietal roasts, you know, like when they first opened, you could choose which, you know, and they had a roast of the week or this or that. They don't do any of that anymore because nobody cares here. This is not a coffee culture area. You know, it was a Mormon town. It's a big Mormon area, and while not everybody is Mormon, and I would say that most people are not Mormons here, that influence is there, and it kind of, you know, coffee was just never a thing, right? So you're still playing catch up when it comes to, you know, a coffee culture of any kind. And there have been places that have come and gone since we've lived here. Some of them had good coffee and some didn't. This has got mediocre coffee. It's not terrible. I have in my hand right now a double shot cappuccino. And that's good enough. It's good enough. You know, it's hot. It's got the foam. It's actually okay. Yeah, it's okay. And I wanted that today. So, I dropped off Mrs. Bronx at her job, but I stayed and volunteered, and they didn't have anybody at all, any other volunteers for the cats today, the cat room. So I took care of the rabbits and the cats today, including the kittens and including this mama cat who has had her kittens while she's been there. And, I've been very leery about kittens, and these kittens specifically, or this mama cat. Now, I'm not touching the kittens, and mama cat has gotten a big space. It's like, you'd have to see it, but it's basically like a display case on the front so people can see them and, you know, if they want to adopt. And on the back, it's a cage, you know, with a cage door that you can open, right? So, gee, I want to get past this guy. Let's see. Big old load. So, There are two of those side by side. Some of these are big and they have a hole in the middle between two cages, and the hole, there's like a flat plastic disc that screws into it so that you can close it off. So if you have a lot of cats, you can close it off and have two separate cages. Or if you don't, or you want to give them extra space, you leave that open, and then they have a nice big area. And because she's got kittens, they gave her a nice big area. So she is able now to nurse the cats, hang out with them for a while, but then get away from them, and that's important. So she's able to do that, and she's actually very sweet if you don't go near the kittens, and that's just natural. That's just how they are, you know, when they're newborns. So I was able to feed her and change her litter box, and she wanted to get petted and everything. She was very nice. And then they have these other kittens that are older, right? And they're monsters. They're just jumping around and squealing and fighting and wrestling and playing and everything. And that's just how kittens are, you know. As they get older, they get more rambunctious and active. And they do a lot of wrestling and fighting because that's instinctual. It's playing, but it's teaching them how to do those things in real life, which they'll need as hunters, you know, because they're predators in later, you know, later life. Now, naturally, they're gonna get adopted at some point or other, but that's just the nature of cats. And they just were a handful. A couple of them got loose out of the cage as I was messing around with it, and I had to chase them around, and that was joy. But I got them all done, and I got everybody taken care of and all cleaned up. It took me a couple hours, and then I did the dishes for them, you know, that's litter pans and food bowls, water bowls, all that stuff. And then I decided I want a coffee, so I went and got a coffee. And that's it. That's been my morning. It's, what did I say, 11-ish. I was concerned today, especially, about Mrs. Bronx kind of working herself and overdoing it, because they got an influx of puppies from animal control in another town. They have a kind of an informal relationship with these guys, and they have a very small animal control office over there, which means that if they run out of space, they euthanize animals to make space. And this Pet Allies of Arizona, here in Sholo, is a no-kill shelter. Now, no-kill doesn't mean they never euthanize, because they're also the dog pound. They're contracted with the city of Sholo to provide them with cages to be the dog pound, but they also get expedited into Pet Allies, right? So a couple of cages are specifically and exclusively for animal control in Sholo, and if those animals come in, if there's like a legal thing about associated with those animals, then the animals stay, right? So, and that happens actually surprisingly a lot. People get arrested and they have an animal at home, right? And there's nobody to take care of the animal. So the police, you know, the animal control will go get the animal and bring it to Pet Allies, and then it just sits there while it's determined what's going to happen with the person, right? Person might be in county lockup, and they might be there for a week or two before they get a court date, right? And if the court date says they can go home, they can come collect their animal and go home. If the court date says they're going to jail for an extended period of time, then the animal gets put up for adoption because there is nobody else to take this animal, you know. So, you know, there are things like that. Some animals are on bite holds, that is to say they were biting somebody, somebody got bit, and the animal's history is completely unknown. Rabies is rare, but it's still a thing you got to take seriously, right? So they put them on a bite hold. This animal comes in and it just gets its own cage, and they wait and see if the animal gets sick. You know, if the animal gets sick, you know, and it could be rabies, but it could be other things too. They gotta let the people know. Rabies is still a difficult disease to diagnose, apparently. You can't just take a blood test and say, oh yeah, you got bit, you got rabies, it's gonna kill you soon, or something like that. It's not that simple. So they still wait and see if the animal gets sick and shows any signs of being rabid. And that's the law, you gotta do that. So they need spaces for Sholo, right? Well, other towns in the area, they don't have a Pet Allies of Arizona branch or anything like that. This is the only one there is. And they only have so much space, and when the animals fill up that space, they put them to sleep. So, they've developed a relationship with a couple of the nearby towns, and if, you know, the animal control officers in those towns call up Pet Allies and say, yeah, look, we got these dogs coming in, and I already have full cages. I'm going to put 3 dogs to sleep unless you want to take them. Well, it's a hard thing to say no to when you have a no-kill shelter and you have the space, right? If you don't have the space, you don't really have much room. You know, you don't have much choice, and it's heartbreaking. But if you have the space, they're going to take them, even though they're another town, right? Now, those animals don't go into those dedicated cages that the city of Sholo has put aside for them, because the city of Sholo is paying for those, right? The, you know, Pet Allies gets, it's a pitiful amount of money, bus, a tiny amount of money, but they have their cages put aside. So this will be space out of the Pet Allies budget, right? Pet Allies is going to take them over. So Pet Allies, it services the entire area, you know, the entire, this part of the White Mountains, it services this entire area. And, you know, I mean, they're so understaffed, and they, you know, they don't have anywhere near as many volunteers as they need. They probably need like twice the number of volunteers, easily twice the number of volunteers, maybe even more. And as a result, if you don't have volunteers to help out, then the employees have to do it. And naturally, if there's that much work to be done, they do the bare minimum because they have so much else to do, you know? Making sure the animals are clean and they're fed and their places are clean and that, you know, they're healthy, they're getting their medication if they need it, blah, 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 all of that. And it's extremely overwhelming. Well, today they get a call, or it was actually yesterday. They did get a heads up from yesterday. They had a call from the Snowflake Taylor. I think it's Snowflake Taylor, Animal Control, saying, yeah, we got 8 puppies coming in, and they're gonna get put down unless you want them. So they're like, yeah, send 8 puppies over. They don't have room for 8 puppies, but they don't want 8 puppies to get killed. So they're taking 8 puppies today, and they're expecting them to come in. Well, with all of that going on, there's no extra volunteers for the cat room, right? So I stayed, and I did everybody. Because if I don't do it, someone else is going to do it, and that someone else is probably going to be my wife. And then she comes home frazzled, exhausted, and in pain. As it was, she got beat up by one of the dogs. You know, they're puppies, but they're older puppies and they're big dogs, so they're actually fairly large. They're strong, and they're incredibly energetic and rambunctious, right? So she had to give everybody medicine today. It's like part of their vaccines. And while she's doing it, she's got one dog she's holding down working on it. Another one jumps up on her because he's just so happy and excited. Knocks her in the eye, so now she's got a scratch across one of her eyelids. That's gonna swell up big time. Every single day she comes home with a new bruise, a new scratch, or new bruise and scratch, bangs her head, bangs her knee. I mean, the physical toll this fucking job takes, it's unbelievable. I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe how physically demanding it can be. So it's rough. It's very rough. And I didn't want to add to that, so I stayed. And they don't have to think about the cat room at all now. You know, rabbits are done, the cats are done, they don't have to pay, they don't even have to go to that side of the shelter, so. And it took me 2.5, 3 hours to get that done. It would have taken them much, you know, they would have been able to do it faster, but they wouldn't have been able to do everything because they just wouldn't have had the time. So, you know, it's the least you can do. It's the least you can do. And I don't want my wife getting sick because she's working herself to the bone. These aren't long hours, but they're hard hours. Hard hours, I'm telling you. It's, and it's, of course, it's emotionally draining too. It's for a lot of people, the emotional aspect of this job is worse than anything else. They've had people who lasted one day and they saw saw something heartbreaking and they're like, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's happened so many times, I can't even count. You know, so new people are hard to keep in, and they had somebody, a new gal for the front desk. She got hired about 2 weeks ago. Only she actually took more days off than she worked in that time, so they let her go. And they have somebody else starting. I think it was today. They're supposed to come in. I don't know. They might even have been there now, but I didn't even notice. It was either today or sometime later this week. So there's a lot of turnover. They don't get paid what they're worth. Nobody gets paid what they're worth. The other girl, the one that got fired, she even made the comment that, like, I made more money on unemployment than I make here. But her unemployment ran out, so she had to get a job. But it's crazy. It's kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, as rough as it is on Mrs. Bronx, she doesn't want to do anything else. She wouldn't be happy doing anything else. You know, I've talked about that in the past. It's a calling. Now, granted, she's a veterinary technician, that is, a nurse for a veterinarian, right? And they have not been doing their clinics like they used to. So this is the next best thing, and it's gonna, you know, it's not what she wants to do per se, but by the same token, she likes knowing the animals. She likes knowing, you know, what they're like, how their health is going, all of that. So she sees them every day and she's really aware of what they're doing and how they're doing. But supposedly, and this is wishful thinking perhaps, or I don't even know if it's just a little bit more than a rumor, but supposedly they have the director of Pet Allies is in a conversation and negotiation with a doctor who they had worked with in the past, who is younger, a woman, and she'd worked with them before. And she might be coming up and she might be available as a full-time for them. Or to do clinics, I should say. Full-time's a different thing, but to do regular clinics. We don't know how that's going to go because things didn't end well when she was there. And I don't really know that whole story, but it was not, I don't know. It may or may not happen, but if it happens, they'll be able to start doing clinics again and get back up to speed. It would be nice. It would be very nice. Not only for Mrs. Bronx, but for the entire area, you know. They're overrun with dogs and puppies and stuff now because there isn't anyone doing high-volume spay-neuter in the area. And because they're not doing that, it has a ripple effect. Now, it can take a year, 2 years, 3 years before you start really seeing the effects of that sort of thing. But, you know, anybody who understands the concept of exponential growth will understand what those numbers can look like. You know, if you are able to spay and neuter upwards of, well, quite a few thousand animals in a year, those are animals that are not out there breeding. And that reduces the number of strays and unwanted animals in the region, the entire area, you know. Again, it can take a little time before you see the effects of this. But we've seen the effects in reverse, right? Because they haven't been doing regular clinics in a long time. So we've been seeing an increase in stray dogs, packs of stray dogs, animals going missing, people dumping animals, people dumping 8 puppies, you know, all of this stuff. It has an effect, you know, it has an effect. You're never going to have a complete handle on the problem because people are people and they, you know, they treat their animals the way they do. So you're never going to have a complete handle on the problem. But it can be better and it can be worse. And right now it's worse. And it was better when they were doing regular high volume spay neuter. And if they could get back to that, well, that'd be amazing. And, it has a knock-on effect. It really does change the character of the area, you know. So it would be Sholo and Lakeside, Pine Top, Linden, Snowflake Taylor, and then over on the other side, even going so far as like, well, I'm a, you know, we've seen stuff, you know, out the Vernon way, out the St. John's way, all the way, that whole area, and that's a big region. That is a big area that I'm talking about. And it encompasses, you know, kind of a blobby circle around Sholo. And they had a positive effect on that entire area. And it's you know, it has been a rough few years not having regular spay-neuter going on, spay-neuter clinics. It's been rough. And the entire area pays for it. The, you know, I've talked about the problem and why they can't get doctors before. I won't go into it again right now, but it's a legitimate issue. And I understand why doctors would be unwilling to do it simply because they can't afford it. And yet the need is so strong, and you know, you could lose all hope if you become too invested. And it's true with any, you know, any kind of social and socially beneficial organization in an area, you know, nonprofits and charities and stuff. It'll break your heart if you think too much about it, because there's the need is always far greater than the means to support it and mitigate it. But what are you gonna do? Do what you can. That's it. Do what you can. So I was there today, did what I could. And then Mrs. Bronx will come home. She's worried that, not worried, but she thinks that she might get asked to come in an extra day this week because they got people out. That gal that got fired after 2 weeks, the last thing was, she's like, yeah, my kid's sick. He's got strep throat. I'm not going to be able to come in. And there'd been excuse after excuse. So they said, no, But she also said on that, when she called in, that I'm feeling sick too. And now people are getting sick with strep throat at the place. She came in while she was sick and spread it. So they have people out now. 2 people are out today. And these are the paid employees. So it's rough. It's really, really rough. I just hope Mrs. Bronx doesn't have to put in an extra day, but I guess we'll see what we see. Anyway, yeah, that's it for today, I guess, because I am home.